The career of Rhiannon Giddens began when she studied opera at the Oberlin Conservatory of Music in Ohio, but she subsequently achieved enormous success with very different musical adventure, the Grammy Award-winning country blues band Carolina Chocolate Drops. In recent years, she and her partner, Francesco Torrisi, have taken a new direction in this fascinating musical journey, earning another Grammy Award for them and leaving one magazine to comment, "There are few artists so fearless and so ravenous in their exploration." That description certainly applies to the latest album from Rhiannon and Francesco. It's called They're Calling Me Home. Country, bluegrass, traditional Irish, opera and old Italian folk melodies. They're all there. There's more as well, however they manage that. I'll be talking to Rhiannon and Francesco in a few moments' time. But first of all, let's hear a little bit of the opening and title track from the album.
I know you remember me when I'm gone. Remember my stories, remember my songs. I'll leave them on earth, sweet traces of gold.
Little flavour there of the opening track, Calling Me Home, from the new album from Rhiannon Giddens and Francesco Torrisi. And the album is called They're Calling Me Home. We reviewed it a while back here on the programme. And to say that our reviewers were positive about it is a gross understatement. Everybody was jumping up and down with the delight. In fact, on the night I said, I really hope I get to talk about this album more. So I am absolutely delighted that Rhiannon Giddens and Francesco Torrisi are talking with me about it this evening. Let's start with that opening song that we just heard the opening section of, Rhiannon. Where does that song come from?
It's a song by Alice Gerard, who is a institution. She's been in the bluegrass and Americana world for a long time, and she lives in North Carolina, and she wrote it some years ago, and I just have always loved that song, but it's never been so insistent that it needed to be sung. It just kept tapping at the back of my brain, you know, in this last year, and it was bringing me such comfort to sing it and to play it with Francesco. I knew that we needed to, you know, we needed to record it.
Yeah, in some ways, the there are themes that are set out in that Calling Me Home song, you know, stories, remember my stories, sweet traces of gold that are found in songs. But it speaks in some ways, Rhiannon, and I'll stick with you on this one, directly to the situation we've all found ourselves in the last 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I was stuck in the song because of, you know, its relationship with death and how I think a healthy relationship is, you know, you get to your, to the time that it's time to move on and you are, you know, ready to go and your family lets you go. And, you know, and that's how you kind of want it to be, but that's how it's not been for so many people who have been alone and we can't grieve together. And then there's all the separation from, you know, another kind of home, which is, you know, not even being able to visit maybe a birth home or to see family. And so it just recalled a lot of different aspects of homegoing for us.
And thematically, that song, Francesco, really sets up what we get across several of the songs on the album. You know, this longing for home, a sense of home, aspects of home seem to be present in many of the songs indeed. But what really struck me, and I presume you have a large part to play in how the musical side, the musical accompaniment of side of things, how that's arranged. There's a kind of a sparseness to it, but a very beautiful sparseness. I guess songs like Calling Me Home, with that wail almost from somewhere primitive, they don't need to be tampered with too much.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really know a lot of this material, you know, a lot of the songs that Rhiannon has known for a very long time, they were all new to me for sure. So that's an interesting part of the process, you know, of not having a preconceived idea what, you know, the song is supposed to sound like. But for that song in particular, I mean, to me, it just sounded like a drone song, you know. So there is very little more than just drones, like static notes, because I didn't want anything else to take away from the power of, you know, the singing and the lyrics, for sure.
And what's providing the drone in that particular track, Francesco?
I'm playing accordion. It's a piano accordion, you know. There's a lot of different, you know, especially in Ireland, I think people laugh at piano accordions and it has such a bad rep. But you know, it's an instrument that has a huge range and a lot of a variety of beautiful sounds. And then Rhiannon is playing octave viola on that too. So she's also droning herself and adding a sound that is slightly more, you know, alive in a different way than the drones of the accordion. So it's quite magical, I think, combination.
Francesco saying to us there, Rhiannon, about this, you know, you don't want to do too much with those songs. And he's done something with an accordion that certainly made it sound very different to me than I would normally necessarily probably associate with the instrument. But you've done this across the album in the songs that you've chosen. I'm hearing songs from all sorts of places, all sorts of backgrounds, all sorts of traditions, but somehow there's a coherence across the 12 tracks on the album. When they could have just been, oh, here's a bluegrass song, here's a song with an Irish feel to it, here's a song that's an Italian lullaby. How did you achieve the coherence, or was that, you know, did that just come out in the mix?
I think that's honestly part of the magic of the collaboration that Francesco and I have, is that, you know, like he mentioned, he hadn't heard a lot of these songs that I brought to the table. And I think both of us approach each other's sound worlds with that, you know, that kind of not having a preconceived notion and not having an expectation of what it should be. So I think we both can find what the song should be, and it's just, we support the song with our sounds and we let the song live. So I think that makes it kind of, we find this the tie-in is us, you know, just letting the song live. And I think that's been one of the things that I'm so appreciative about our musical partnership, is that we're able to meet in the middle in a way that serves the song the best.
Who brought Si Dolce El Tormento to the table then? Because obviously I mentioned your operatic background, but also there's an Italian aspect to this particular song. Who brought that one to the table, Francesco?
Well, it's a song that I've known for a very, very long time. I have a background in early music as well, so I've played that song and it's on my first piano album, you know, played in a different way. But I think we had performed it, we did a few shows last year, 2 years ago actually, just piano and voice, and we were performing that song because it's such a lovely kind of poppy song. It could have been written yesterday, but now the plan was actually not to record it in this session, and it came out at a moment where we were having a bit of a struggle with some of the material. We were a little stuck, like that can happen in any recording session, and Rhiannon said, hey, why don't we do Si Dolce El Tormento? And on the cello banjo, you know, which is an instrument that I hadn't really an arrangement made for, and I was kind of kicking back, and I said, no, this is for another project, I'm not sure I can put this together right now, but she convinced me to do it, and you know, so I sat down for a minute and then we did it, and I'm so glad that she did, because I think it's one of the most powerful moments of the entire recording session.
Yeah, it's very powerful on the album. Let's have a listen. I'm just going to come in straight into the vocal aspect of the song, a little bit into the piece. Si dolce el tormento.
Si dolce il tormento che in seno mi sta, che io vivo contento per cruda beltà, nel ciel di bellezza s'accreschi fierezza e manchi pietà.
I'm presuming, Rhiannon, that Si Dolce El Tormento was something about how sweet is pain. Is that roughly what she is singing, the character is singing about there?
Yeah, I mean, it's the torment of love unrequited, you know, there's that push me pull you thing where it's just like, oh, I want this so much and I can't have it, and it's just ripping me in pieces, and you know, there's a lot of tension in that, and I just connected to, you know, the beauty of Monteverdi's setting of those words, you know, there's just, he's just tapped into some really super deep feeling about love, which, you know, we all experience at one time or another.
And did Monteverdi include this as an opera, in an opera, or is it just a setting of a song, that music that he put to a poem or to to lyrics?
We'll have to ask Professor that now.
Yeah, Professor Francesco Teresi, you're on the spot.
Yeah, no, this is not part of an opera. This is more of a light kind of canzonetta, they would have called them at the time, you know. It's more of a little light aria or something, you know, like a short piece that, in fact, probably wasn't meant to be such a serious, you know, intense piece. But at the same time, I think it transcends that idea, and it's such an incredible melancholic melody to it that I think goes further than the lyrics, almost, you know, that are quite stylized in a 17th century way.
Now, you rehabilitated the accordion in the first track that we listened to. I had spent a few hours today saying, what instrument is that that's accompanying Rhiannon in that song? I thought, oh, it says classical guitar. And I went, no, maybe it's a lute, maybe it's some kind of early instrument. A cello banjo, you tell me.
Yes. Well, this is actually is an instrument that I play a lot on the record, but it's an instrument that Rhiannon has. It's an original Gibson 1920s cello banjo that I picked up when I was visiting her years ago, and I tried it, and it's strung with Nile guts, so imitation gut strings, you know. So for me, that was the appeal of it, is that it sounded like a lute, you know. It had this lutey sound. And I started messing with it, and I fell in love with it immediately. And I it's an instrument that I can't put down, you know. I want to play it all the time.
I didn't know why I bought it until he picked it up, because it was actually originally owned by Mike Seeger. And I knew Mike Seeger, and I was able to purchase a few of the instruments from his collection after he died. And that was one. And I was sitting with it going, this is beautiful. What am I going to do with this? And then he picked it up, and I was like, well, there you go.
I was going to ask, what type of music have you been playing on it? But clearly none until this moment in time. Francesco solved that problem for you. Let me just go straight into another track on the album, a little flavour of this.
Oh, death in the morning.
Death, one of the songs on the new album from Rhiannon Giddens and Francesco Teresi. The new album is called They're Calling Me Home. It's an absolutely amazing piece of work. We've had three tracks now, or a little flavour of three tracks, and, you know, it sounds like totally, totally different songs, totally different artists, totally different instruments. It's quite extraordinary how that happens across the album, and yet, as I say, it works as a unit as well. And the song that we heard, where does that come from, Rhiannon?
And that's an old Southern American song. It would have come to a lot of people's attention through Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah.
Where Ralph Stanley sang it. But I got my version from Bessie Jones, and it's more of a South Carolina, low country kind of, you know, more of an African American, obviously, color to that. I loved her version of it. And I have to shout out to Ben Rollins, who was the engineer on the record. You know, he lives in near Dublin. And what he did with all the voices that I overlaid on that is just, it's really incredible. We couldn't have done, you know, what we did without him.
Yeah, well, you've answered my question then. Is that you and doing all the backing vocals as well? They were overlaid by Ben.
Well, yeah. So we kind of worked together in that he made them sound so amazing. And what I did is I listened to, we tried to do as much performance, like a performative recording, as we could. So even when we did overdubs, we did them as performances. So I was performing with myself. Mm. And so I would do the whole pass. And then he knew when to pull them in and pull them out. But I was singing with myself the whole time, instead of sort of little bits and pieces where he has to put it all together. It's more like he gets to carve the cake, you know, that we've sort of baked. And it was a really great way of working.
That performative aspect, I'd say, is huge. It must be something you're missing enormously, Francesco. I'd love to see and hear the songs on this album performed live. You must be missing live performance.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, we haven't really been playing for well over a year now. And considering before we were on the road every month, you know, playing like, I don't know, 10, 15 shows, it's a quite a huge contrast. And also, like, you know, being in Ireland, Ireland somehow didn't really reopen ever. Like a lot of other places in Europe last year in the summer reopened a little bit. Ireland kind of reopened for 1 minute. We did two gigs in Skibbereen Arts Festival, and it was amazing in last summer, but that was it. So definitely, we're definitely missing, you know. There's no no stream or something we can do in that kind of format that can you know, be the same as a live performance.
No, there's nothing to replace it. A lot, Francesco and Rhiannon, about your qualities on this album, but there are two other artists that come in at various points along the way that add hugely to the variety that we get as well. Maybe first of all, talk to me a little bit about the input of Newell Tsumbo, if you would tell me about that, Francesco.
Yeah, Newell is an amazing guitarist from Congo that has been living in Ireland for a long time. And I'd worked with him a good few times before. I think he's a very unique musician because his music is also very hard to define. And, you know, he flirts with jazz, and there's, of course, a very strong Congolese sound. He's worked a lot with trad musicians. So, you know, when we thought about who could we have, you know, that could work with our sounds, I thought almost immediately about him as an option, you know. And it worked. I mean, what he brings to the album, we think, is amazing. We didn't really know it was going to work this well. And yeah, it's very, very special. And he was literally like on the spot. He didn't even know what he was coming to play. So it was quite amazing.
Yeah, there's a feel of that on the track. One particular track that he features on quite heavily, Newell Goes to Town. It's like a two guitar answer and response. I presume that was the two of you having a little bit of guitar chat, was it?
No, at the very beginning, it's Rhiannon actually with the gourd banjo. It's very interesting because, you know, Rhiannon was playing the gourd banjo, and, you know, which is obviously an instrument that ties very much to his African ancestors. And you know, Newell is playing the Western nylon string guitar, wow. And they're talking to each other, and it makes so much sense. It's incredible.
Yeah, that'll teach. I'm never going to guess any instrument on any album you play on again, because I will not know what the instrument is or who's playing it. And the other artist that I think is vitally important to the album is Emer Mayock, flautist and Illan pipe player. She's there on a great track called Black as Crow, this lovely waltz time where she comes in with a flute along the way, and there's a real Irish feel to a track called Bully for You, a purely instrumental track. Again, I think it's flute that she has on that one, if I remember right. But in the very final track on the album is quite extraordinary, your version of Amazing Grace. Tell me a little bit about how you give us none of the words here. How did this arrangement come into being, Rhiannon?
Well, it's an interesting mixture of things. You know, at one point when Francesco and I were kind of messing around, you know, and sort of playing different things, and he started this sort of pulse. I mean, it wasn't a groove, but it was like a, you know, his frame drums all have a tone. So it was kind of a rhythmic drone that didn't have a set groove to it. And he said, you know, could you sing something over this? And the first thing that came to my mind was a humming Amazing Grace. We just loved the sound of it. And as we were putting this record together and thinking about what to do, that piece, you know, that arrangement kind of came back. And I had kind of, you know, hummed it in a way that kind of recalled me to all the times I've heard Amazing Grace played on bagpipes at funerals, you know, in the States. It's a thing. And the just the tone and the shape of the notes, that's how I was, you know, approaching it. And so when Emer came onto the project, I was like, well, she plays pipes, like, let's get it all together and see what happens. And, you know, the experience of being in one room, we didn't have any isolation for any of this. You know, we were in one room, I'm humming, Francesco's playing the frame drum, and Emer's playing her pipes. And like, the sensation of singing with her when her pipes come in, and like feeling the molecules of our two sounds sort of melding, you know, with Francesco's sounds, was just, it was really a spectacular moment.
Mayock on Illan Pipes there in that version of Amazing Grace from Rhiannon Giddens and Francesco Terizzi, and that is from their album They're Calling Me Home. 12 absolutely magical tracks. I can't recommend it highly enough. Coming up shortly, we'll speak with anthropologist Henry Glassie.